This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 17th pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Our second draft preview podcast where we... Oh, you let me down, Paul.
I just thought it was one of your regular pauses. I didn't know.
Where we review the prospects. So this week we're going to look at running backs, a position that I think at first people might have expected that the Patriots were going to be in love with Mark Ingram and he was going to be the surefire first-round pick, but I think people have steadily gotten away from that as a consensus. But again, last year we thought no way they'd pick a cornerback with their first-round pick, and they did. So I guess it's entirely possible that they could surprise us again and go running back. I don't really think that's going to happen, but what about you guys?
Well, I think
Andy
the strength...
Hart, Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, by the way.
He cues me up and then he interrupts me. I think the strength of this running back is in that he does it again, in the middle. I am not sold that there is a featured back in the mix. I don't think I would take a running back in the first round. Mark Ingram very likely will be a mid-first round pick. And, you know, the former Heisman winner had a great year 2 years ago, coming off knee surgery this year, split carries, didn't have the huge numbers. I'm just not sold that he is a... elite running back in the National Football League. I think he's going to be a good, productive player. And I think there's a lot of those players in general in this draft. But I think the depth of this draft is in the end of the second, third, fourth rounds, where I think some team is going to find a very good player, and potentially many teams will find productive running backs. So I would be hesitant to take a first-round running back.
Yeah, I would agree with Andy's assessment overall of the class. I'm very high on the group as a whole. I think there are a lot of good running backs. I agree with Andy. I don't think it's top heavy at all. I don't think there's that high end can't miss guy.
Middle bunch.
I want to ask Andy this question, and Eric, feel free to jump in. You know, you might want to let Andy answer it before you jump in. However,
I don't want to get him mad.
I'm on a hypothetical here. Like our listeners on PFW in Progress always like to present us. We like games.
Sure.
The hypothetical is you are taking a running back at 17 or at 28.
Ooh.
A first-round running back. We all agree there really isn't a guy that we love.
Okay, But if you had to take one
in the first round, you found out the Patriots are absolutely taking a running back in the first round, who's the guy you want?
Well, first of all, I'd need a new pair of underwear because I'd be scared poopless to make this decision because I don't think any of them have what it takes. I would say, for me, it would be between three guys, and I'm not sure I could actually make the pick. Mikel LeSeur, I think, is a good player.
That would be my guy.
With upside. Daniel Thomas, I really like as a second-round pick. Be scared in the first round because I think he runs too upright, has some fumble issues that I'm a little concerned with. And the third guy would be Ryan Williams out of Virginia Tech. I think he's a guy that...
Those are my three favorites.
Could end up
LeSeur
being a very good player,
one guy.
But a lot of these guys are one-year wonders. You know, Ryan Williams had a great year 2 years ago, came back, shared the load. They kind of had a three-man backfield. Came back with a hamstring injury, but I wouldn't feel real great about drafting any of those guys in the first round. But those would be the three I'd be considering.
I would I like some of those names. I thought LeSeur would be gone by the time 17 or certainly 28 rolled around. So my pick would have been Ryan Williams from Virginia Tech. I like his overall skill set, and I think Andy's right about Daniel Thomas. The one thing that scares me a little bit, he's huge, 6'2". 220 range, the big
back. Reminds me a lot of Antoine Smith.
Yeah.
I like that. I say that in a
I think he's more athletic
way.
Than
that's
Antoine
That's why
Smith.
I think, you know, second-round guy, third-round guy, that's Antoine Smith.
A little more athletic. Not a lot of moves, not a lot of speed, not a lot of shiftiness, but he gets the job done. So, I like Andy, I think there's a lot of risk with Daniel Thomas, but if you were going to do it, I think he's one of the better ones for the first round.
The reason I posed it, and I'm glad that you guys ended up agreeing.
Funny, none of us had Mark Ingram.
That's it. You know, I think that the three guys that you mentioned, I'd rather have over Mark Ingram.
Now, or I'd go the Larry Bird route and draft Trent Richardson.
Clearly,
Ingram's teammate from last year.
I see what you did. Clearly, I like LeSeur more than Ingram. I think LeSure is better. I think he has bigger big play potential. I think he does a lot of things well. I like him a lot. Ingram has the marquee program with the pro coach and the pedigree and all that stuff going for them.
The Heisman.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think he's as good.
I actually think Ingram is a rich man's Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He probably has a little bit more big playability than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis does, but I think that's what you're getting. A guy who's pretty good, good along the line of scrimmage, is going to get you your 4 yards or your 3 yards, going to fall forward, but I just, not a guy that I'm willing to say this is my running back for the next 6 years, and this is, you know, the focal point of our offense, where I think some of these other guys could either be out of the league in 3 years or be the focal points of offenses. I'm scared to death of a lot of them, but I think a lot of them have the potential.
And it's funny that we talk about, and Daniel Thomas specifically, but the upright nature of, he's a little taller than most running backs at 6'2", and he does run.
Just to clarify, I don't believe he measured 6'2 at the combine.
Okay.
I want to say he was a 6'0 and change guy, at the, so like 6'1, 6'0, 6'1
okay.
at the combine.
I don't necessarily think that has to be a negative. The whole upright.
It depends how you run, though.
Right. To me,
if you're already 6'2 and you run upright, now you're really high. Now you're taking some shots.
There's a lot of guys. To me, that's the telltale sign. Are you taking the shots or are you avoiding the shots? Your running style. If he's not, like Eric Dickerson was a bigger running back who ran straight up and down.
Right. There's been some great running backs that run straight up and down, but it's harder.
Yeah.
You can't get away with as much.
But I noted that with him. And there's a few other guys I thought that had a similar kind of style in this thing. And then there was, the other whole group of, there's a ton of them in this draft, just versatile kind of third down backs. Can they be every down guys led by your boy, from UConn, Jordan Todman?
Yeah.
Can they take it between the tackles? Can they carry it 20-plus times? In addition to maybe, being that third down kind of guy out of the backfield catching passes, there's a lot of talent and a lot of versatility in this group.
That's why I think if you were putting together a committee and needed a couple backs, it's a pretty good year to draft a couple.
If you get one of these guys in the second and one in the fourth, you'd be really happy with the running back situation.
I really do. And then you've kind of covered your bases. If one isn't quite as good, you get a second one. So I think there's a lot of versatile talent. The question is, which part of it will play out?
I think that second scenario is probably more likely than the first one in the little game we played. So let's talk about some of those names, and let's start with the guy who's not only near and dear to your heart, Andy, but near to your household.
Yes.
Jordan Todman from Dartmouth, Mass.
I have trouble with Todman as I evaluate him because I've watched, you guys know, when we're on the road half the time, I'm looking to see if UConn's on at a bar or whatever. I've kind of watched him closely, and I look at him with the Fred Kirsch, how he thinks we look at Brandon Merriweather, with the overly critical eye. And I tend to see his warts, and I've seen him since high school. I told you, Paul, I thought he shied away from contact at times in high school.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth,
okay.
I will miss you.
And I think he goes out of bounds a little too easy at times, but he has very good speed, very good big playability. I think he runs a little too upright, certainly for a guy of his size, barely 200 pounds. If you're going to put a bullseye on your chest, you're going to get hurt. You're going to have fumbles. But he can make people miss. And I think he could be a better pro than college player because I thought his offense sucked. I didn't think he had anything around him. They just said, we're going to hand it to him 25 to 35 times a game. And he was successful in doing that. They were successful enough. They went to the Fiesta Bowl, so who am I to question it? And Randy Edsall got his new job and all that. But I thought it was a pretty piss-poor offense at UConn that he was the centerpiece of.
Can he be a successful pro as a feature back or just as a complimentary player?
As a feature back. There is no such thing anymore, for the most part. Maybe Michael Turner a couple of years ago, but there's not a lot of backs that you're going to give the ball to literally 30 times a game or 25 plus
Chris
times
Johnson,
a game.
One of those guys.
He's going to get the ball. If he gets the ball, I think he can carry it 15 to 20. 15 to 20 touches, I think he's capable of. I think he has good muscle tone. I think he's a guy that's kind of maximized his frame, but is pretty physical. He's had a few nagging injuries at various times, but I do think he can be more than 6 touches or 8 touches.
Certainly, no one would have thought Ray Rice could do what he's been doing, and he's been able to do it.
And who compared Todman to Ray Rice was Greg Schiano when UConn played, which I thought was very much high praise from an opposing coach to compare him to his star player. I thought was a huge compliment.
I actually think Andy's point about the UConn offense is the biggest X factor in trying to evaluate this guy, because I think that you know, we can all say, well, he didn't catch the ball a lot, so we don't know if he can be really a third down back. We don't know how great his hands are. Or we don't know if he's going to be big enough to hold up over a 16-game season carrying the ball 250 times.
Right.
We don't know. We don't, and that's all true. We don't know any of that stuff until he does it. But to me, the biggest thing, how much was he held back by the fact that he had six different guys playing quarterback and none of them could play?
Right.
And the offense was something out of 1958.
Right.
You know, how much did those things hold him back? It's impossible to know.
I said this to you a few times during the year. Can you envision him in, like, the Oregon offense?
Ugh.
Where he's a dynamic playmaker who's asked to just make dynamic plays, not carry the entirety of the offense, where speed and the timing of the offense creates plays that he could take advantage of. I would have loved to have seen it, and maybe you see that at the next level. I mean, Chris Johnson is a far better pro than he was in college. I mean, they've maximized his playmaking ability, and there's plenty of guys you see that with. I would hope that he'd be the next guy, but I'll tell you, I've really fallen in love with Shane Vereen, and I know, Paul, you like him, too.
Yeah, my favorite of that type of back.
And a small guy, but stocky.
Well, a little bit. He's bigger than Todman. He's about 210, but can do it all, can run, can catch, is one of the better receivers in this group, which will get me to another guy in a minute. But I think you draft him, at worst, you have a guy that you're going to have for the next 6 or 8 years to do it all. You know, Sammy Morris type or whatever you want to call him that can play a good role in pass protection, which they're known for in the running backs at Cal, catch the ball out of the backfield, and I also think he has the chance to be a pretty good running back.
And he looked like some of his specialties were draws and, you know, those kind of split-out plays where he could get the ball in space.
Plays. Right. So. But I also think he's got the size to carry some traditional first-down plays as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy...
Sure. No, go ahead.
No, I was just to say I like Vereen a lot.
I think maybe injuries aside, the safest of the running backs, in my opinion, is Murray, DeMarco Murray
from Oklahoma.
Because I think he could be a slot receiver in the NFL. I think he's a very good receiver. And so even if he's not a great running back, I think you're going to get some production out of him in some way. I actually think he'd be the perfect Patriot because of that versatility. I could see him lined up wide in the many five receiver sets, you know, catching some ball, motioning into the backfield, motioning out of the backfield, the various things they like to do. Very, very productive player at a high level of football, obviously. So I think he might be one of the safer guys in this little middle of the pack.
Good speed and power with Murray.
Oh, yeah.
And very effective on screen passes.
The one thing he's not a real big play guy. You'd think of a guy that style, you'd have more big plays, and he's never really been that. But Kevin Falk is the guy I think of. Name all the big Kevin Falk plays. They all go about 15 yards.
Yeah.
None of them go 70.
A lot of big plays in terms of importance. Not necessarily.
And I think that's what Murray is. He's very important to an offense, but you're not going to say, wow, did you see that 95-yard run or that, you know, 85-yard pass or whatever? You're not going to get that, but you're going to remember the six passes he caught that are the reason you won the game.
All right, as we always do, let's talk about a couple of maybe lesser-known players or sleepers. You can mention your own guys. I'm going to throw out a couple of names for you. Ask for your opinion about Tywan Jones of Eastern Michigan.
Yep.
Intriguing
guy. 6 feet, 200.
Everything but the competition you like.
Yeah. In the turf.
Yeah, the red turf over there. I don't mind it either.
Yeah,
it wouldn't pass the league's
the new rules.
The new shade of green that's approved by the league, but because it's red.
Andy and I both agreed, tough to make the gauge. It's the 1AA level, and you would expect a guy like that with his skill set to really pop, and he did. He pops on tape because I think he's a better athlete than virtually anybody else on the field.
No question. And I said this to Paul. I don't know that I've ever used this term. Usually this term is for defensive linemen or whatever. I think he's a high-motor running back. His feet never stop moving. He breaks tackles because his feet literally never stop moving.
And that's what you want from a running back.
Tremendous. If you can, A, run through contact, and, B, keep your feet moving at all times, you're going to make some plays. I don't care what level it's at. You know, he's a guy that's been on the rise, and some people now think he could be in the pack with Murray and Todman and Vereen and these guys, type of third-down running back. So very, 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 very intriguing because he just jumps off the tape and the plays he made.
Couple of others then. Darrell Scott of Maryland and Alan Bradford, USC.
Andy likes Bradford more than I do.
Paul hates him. I like him.
I didn't hate him.
Oh, I thought you said hate.
No,
Hate's a strong word.
Yeah, a very strong word. I thought he was more of a fullback type. And Andy.
He's 5'11, 235.
Andy unwittingly validated my thoughts by saying he's like Sammy Morris, and I said exactly. He meant it as a compliment.
But Sammy Morris is not a fullback. He plays some fullback. Bradford actually played a little fullback for them, blocked some, seems to be willing to do that. But I also think he has the combination of size, speed, athleticism. I mean, first of all, let's remember he went to USC as a running back. That means coming out of high school,
he was a good
he was
back.
One of the maybe best 100 athletes in the country. or better than that. So this is a guy that has some natural athleticism. I think he's a guy that could be better in the pros than he was in college because didn't have huge numbers. I think he had 700 yards or whatever last year. I think he has pretty quick feet for a big guy. I think he's fast enough and quick enough to make plays in the NFL. You watch him. He's rated as like a seventh-round pick. He will be a sleeper. He will be – I'm not going to call him James Starks because he's not that good. James Starks got a better grade from Andy last year.
Wow. He's talking about himself in the third person.
The up arrow was a little bit higher, a little steeper last year.
Yes, not quite the same up arrow as for James Starks, but this is a guy that
more,
will
more
be
of a northwest than a straight
well, no, they're all
48,
to the east.
49 degrees.
They all go east.
Of
None
the
of them go west. All of them to the east.
All right.
All right, what about Darrell Scott?
Sun rises in the east.
Darrell Scott, a burner. He's a really fast guy. A lot of big plays on the tape.
And I like him.
Home run guy. I tend to be leery of those guys.
You get a southeast arrow.
A lot of impressive plays on tape on him, but I always wonder with those kinds of guys, I like to see what happens when the hole's not there. And I like to see how he fights through some trap. Derek Locke is a kid from Kentucky who I actually saw actually break some tackles, even though small guys like 5'9".
Yeah, and he emphasizes that at the combine.
He's pretty
tough. People think I run outside. A lot of my runs come between the tackles. I can break tackles.
But I thought just an endless list of guys that NFL Draft Scout has rated 4th, 5th, 6th round that I thought could play. Roy Helu from Nebraska.
Oh, I like him.
You know, just a lot of guys in this kind of area that I would be very happy with if the Patriots could pick, if they ignored the high end, you know, of this class and said, oh, we'll get somebody.
Yeah, I like Helu and Vereen. I think they're very similar.
Vereen I like a lot. Even the kid from Clemson, Jamie Harper. And I know that you're a little – Andy's gun shy on his Clemson guys because of what happened with James Davis.
Yeah.
Never really panned out.
He didn't pan out.
But these are a lot of names we've tossed out there and a lot of likely candidates, I think, for the Patriots. I think it's pretty safe to say they're going to take a running back and probably one of these guys
that
we mentioned.
Not a Derek
Not
lock.
A Derek Locke.
Even
a lock.
Steven Ridley from LSU, another fourth-round kind of guy.
I like him.
I think there was a lot to like about all of these guys.
Great. Well – that's
but not something to like about Darren Evans. He is the first recipient this year of the double down arrow the double southeast arrows. Yeah, he stinks. Big, heavy, slow.
I thought he bounced everything wide too much.
Yeah, for a fat guy, it's not good. Fred Kirsch probably likes him.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back next week looking at another position that's even more critical for the Patriots. We're going to keep you in a little suspense here and not tell you what it is. But join us next week.
We don't want to be committed.
But join us next week for another draft preview. Prospect preview, whatever we call these things. Join us next week for another one.
Forever.
Come back.
Yeah, this is Scott Zolak, and maybe I did steal your lunch, but look how many free ones I got you. Download these podcasts right now.